Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We are in a message series that I've used the overarching umbrella of Peter and his Bible. Got on me as I'm just in my Bible reading one morning, reading through the book of 1 Peter. I just kept seeing the Old Testament, Old Testament. I said, there's got to be something to this. So I began to study and look. And so I thought, well, let's preach through all of those Old Testament quotation passages. And I found nine of them that Peter used. And so we come to this next one. We saw this morning verses 4 through 8 and looked at Peter and the use of the word rock or stone. And we come tonight where Peter is dealing with the people of God, who the people of God are, the church. Now, be very careful with this text, verses 9 and 10, because there is a slice of the church that uses these two verses for what is known as replacement theology. Now, replacement theology is this. Replacement theology says that God is no longer dealing with Israel as a people, and he has replaced Israel with the church. And that Israel is no more, and he does not deal with them, and you just treat them like anyone else. But you can't get to the book of Revelation, Daniel, and other places and understand that, because God is going to rekindle in that new dispensation Israel again. He's got a place for the Jew that is different from other people, because they are his chosen people, and we are now in a different dispensation where God is dealing with us as the priests of God, but he will come back to that. So don't run completely away and just say, okay, Israel is no more, and now the church is Israel, all right? You have to be very careful with that replacement theology mindset. However, there are a lot of pictures of Old Testament Israel that God has now laid over on his covenant people called the church of the living God, and Peter deals with that in this text tonight. So, verses 9 and 10, look at it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And Peter says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Here Peter quotes several Old Testament texts, but the main two are found in Isaiah 43:21. We'll go there in a moment, and Exodus 19:5-6. But he says about us, he says about you. Listen, look at these four descriptions that are right there in that text. Chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, people for God's own possession. Now, if you're a believer, these four things are said about you and then about us. Now, don't miss this. It's probably the most important item to remember about these four descriptive phrases. Race, priesthood, nation, people. The emphasis is not on the singularity of the citizen or the priest or the person of the race or of the person of the people. It's not the singularity. His emphasis here is the plurality of what we are all together. If there's anything that aggravates me, and there's much, about the church, it is that people want to be so singular that they miss the collectiveness of the body of Christ. I am a big body life preaching pastor. I believe when God gets ready to move in a local church, He'll set a leader to point a direction. Oftentimes that's my job. Others that step up that point a direction for us. We have these ball fields out here in the back that our kids work on. Those are there because God raised up a man. His name is Bobby Taylor. His son is still a member of our church. I did Mr. Taylor's funeral. And I'm telling you, on his deathbed and leading up to his death, he said to me again and again, "Preacher, I'm telling you, you better build those ball fields." I said, "Well, Brother Bob," he said, "listen to me. I'm telling you, you ought to do it." He said, "It used to be the greatest fellowship factor out here in the front, and I know that we don't do that with a lot of kids, with adults anymore, but those kids, and I'm telling you, it will be a great outreach, and you can do that with softball and soccer and a lot of other things." He said, "I'm just telling you, you ought to do it." And Bobby just singularly, I mean, he put that on me. Bob Davis, that I talked about this morning, with this spring that's right here, there's a road out here that I asked, and they put his name, was called Bob Davis Way. Bob said to me over and over, I never thought about it, he just came out of the business world, "Pastor, two words, never forget these two words. If you're going to build this campus, never forget these two words." I said, "What are they, Bob?" He said, "Access and egress, access and egress, access and egress." I said, "What does that mean?" He said, "That means you got to get on the campus, that means you got to get off the campus." He said, "If you just get everybody on here and you don't have egress where they can get out, you'll have a mess." He said, "We got to find a way to punch through so people can get out here to Whitmire, and so they can get out here to Olive Road, and so they can get out of here to Davis." He said, "It's going to be hard enough to get off this campus, and it'll bottleneck everybody up. You got to have access and egress, access and egress." I mean, I heard that in my sleep. And so we punched through out here to finally get that road. And that was all Bob. That wasn't my idea. That was Bob's idea. But I'm telling you, God uses singular Christians to lead. But most often, God then rallies the body of faith to go in a direction. Because we are plural a race, we are plural a priesthood, we are plural a nation, we are plural a people. And God puts us together to march forward to do something. He always has his leaders, but then he brings us together. Well, let's look at these four descriptive phrases for just a moment. The first one, he says, "You are a chosen race." And there in verse number 9, he is quoting out of Isaiah 43 and verse 20. A chosen race. Now, boy, there's all kind of teaching in here. The word race and chosen together, it speaks about covenant. We are a covenant people. We are in covenant with God, and we are in covenant with one another. Most of the time, the only time that people really want to quote covenant verses is when you have something against a brother and they say, "Okay, you got to come to me, and then you got to come with two or three, and then you got to bring it to the church," and they're all big on that covenant verse. But there's a whole lot more covenant verses than that, okay? It's probably the most difficult thing. Matter of fact, I've had to handle it twice this week, where we have to discipline members. We have to deal with sin in the camp. And you got to go to that and deal with it because it's blatant and it's out there and it's hard. Nobody signs up for that. But you see, we are a covenant race, a chosen people. That word race speaks of the ethnos, the ethnicity, all right? The race. What race are you? Well, when people line us up, you have to check a box. Now when they ask me, I go to the doctor, it says race, I write human. Just for aggravation. But we have a race. You are of a race. Your race is Christian. It's what you are. And you're a chosen. This runs all into the predestination, foreknowledge, election issue. People ask me all the time, are you a Calvinist? I say, yes. If you let me define it. I'm a Criswellian Calvinist. Dr. Criswell, I read him every week on his wcriswell.com. He says over and over, I'm a Calvinist. And then I read his stuff, and he sounds like an Arminian. I said, that's the kind of Calvinist I am. He believes that God knew me before the foundation of the world, and then he preached the gospel, and I came to him. Now watch this. With Reformed theologians, here is the basic difference. The basic difference in Reformed and non-Reformed. Reformed theologians in Calvinism believe that you are regenerated before you have faith. That God reaches into your lost darkness and he regenerates you and he saves you and then he gives you faith. And on the other side, people say, no, you have to have faith and then God regenerates you. And we argue about that in their whole churches, Presbyterians and Baptists and Reformed and non-Reformed that deal with that issue. See, I just don't think we're smart enough to figure that out. I think we've cut some places in Scripture that I'm not sure God ever cut. See, I think I'm regenerated as I have faith and I have faith as I'm regenerated. I think those two things are all so mingled up. I don't believe anybody's smart enough to figure that out. Because you see, logically, if God regenerates me and then I have faith, that means, well, why do we do evangelism? And why? God's going to save who he wants to. Just you and you and you and you and you, you're in. And you and you and you and you, you go to hell. Because I ain't regenerating you. You can do all you want to, buddy. You're hell bound. Forget it. That is the logic of that. Well, yeah, I don't find that in the Word of God when they start in Acts with evangelism. But now on the other side of that, it's like it's all up to me. And that if I just, by my friend, if it's up to me, I never would get saved. Men love darkness rather than light. So I think it's both. I mean, God begins, you remember when God saved you? You wasn't looking for him, were you? I wasn't. But he found me and I believed and I started. You know, I just chosen. I know this, God chose me. He selected me. I don't understand all that, but he came after me and he redeemed me. And I had faith and I believe. And I am a chosen race. I am in covenant now with holy God. And not only am I in covenant with God, hear me, I am in covenant with you. With you. You can't get mad at me and run off. We're in covenant. And we're in covenant enough that we talk to each other about our issues. Like grown, mature, adult believers. Not little snotty-nosed children. That's this crowd up here. Whining and crying. And see, this wasn't a deacon's meeting. No crying at deacon's meeting, Brother Steve. Amen. No whining, blowing your nose, and I didn't get my way. I mean, we're in covenant. Sometimes you don't get your way. Sometimes you, but you see, you're in. We are a chosen. It's plural. Don't miss the plurality. I mean, that's the power of this verse. Not only are we a chosen race, we're a royal priesthood. Royal. That's a great word. The high priest here. It's not just any priest. It's a high. And there are two things that you got to see about the priesthood. Now, see, when people want to individualize the priesthood, they go to the priesthood of the believer. And we are. So I am a big believer. Matter of fact, Baptists coined this phrase, priesthood of the believer. You don't have to have anybody to pray for you. You pray for yourself. Amen? That's the priesthood of the believer. You go straight to the Father. You confess your own sin. You don't come to me. Hey, I got enough sin to confess my own self. Don't be bringing me yours. Now, I'll pray for you. I'll help you try to work through that. But you don't have to have somebody that's elected to something. Dr. Patterson out at Southwestern Seminary always, every time he sees me, he calls me Cardinal Trailer. That's what he calls me. And I the first time I looked at him, he said, well, it's because you have red hair. He said, you're like a bird. Yeah, and it's you're a cardinal. He said, you have a high standing, and you're a cardinal. I said, that's something about the Catholic. He said, I know, but he said, I'm just making fun of you. And so we talk about it because in our Catholic friends' hierarchy, there are priests, and there's cardinals, and then there's a pope, you know, and you pray up that line. Well, you don't have to have a priest. You are a priest. You don't have to have a cardinal. I am a cardinal. Matter of fact, I'm a pope. I go straight to the Father. That's what we are. But now hear me. This text is not about the individual priesthood of the believer, the singularity. This is about the plurality of the priesthood. All together we go to God. All together we seek out the Lord. Priests do a couple of things. Number one, priests can approach God. They can go into the holy place. We as a church go together into the holy place. And priests not only go and speak to God, but after speaking to God, they go into the world and speak for God. We as a church are to speak not only to God, we to speak for God. The word priest in this Greek construct here of priesthood literally means a bridge builder. We are to build a bridge collectively as God's people from the throne of God to the man in the street. We bridge that gap. Now, Jesus, we know, is the way and the truth. We're not that. But we are the bridge builder. We build the bridge as a priesthood. We approach God, and then we proclaim God as a bridge builder. Again, we are royal priesthood put together to go into the world and unto the throne of Almighty God. It's who we are. Don't miss this, the plurality. Have I said that yet? I'm telling you, don't miss this. We're a chosen race. That's all of us, plural. We're a royal priesthood, plural. Thirdly, we are a holy nation. Anybody reading the King James tonight? What's it say? What kind of people? Peculiar. You know any peculiar people in the church? Amen. Well, this word here, peculiar, is the word holy, and it literally means to be different. Peculiar. Hagios, holy. As a people, we are different from the world. That's what a holy nation is to be. We are a nationality, and we're not the same as the lost world. As a matter of fact, Jesus said the lost world is on a broad road and it's going this way, but we are on a narrow road, and I believe we are in the median going the other way. I don't believe we're running parallel. I think we are right in the middle of the 8-lane highway of lostness coming this way. I believe we are in the median of a narrow way. We are peculiar. We are different. All the world says abortion is good, but the holy nation says no, it's not good. The world says drunkenness is a good thing, and the holy nation says no, sobriety is the way to go. We are at odds. We are peculiar. My grandmother used to use a word for peculiar. When somebody was a little funny or off, she'd say, well, that's a queer individual. Not queer, she'd say queer. She said, that guy, he's just kind of queer. And I always thought, she shouldn't say that. But I know what she meant. She didn't even know anything about a homosexual. That wasn't the deal. She just saw them as different. Well, I'm telling you, when this lost world looks at the Baptists down at Olive, they ought to say, oh, that's a bunch of choir folks. They're just kind of different. Part of our problem is we've got so much of the world mixed in the church today, it's hard to tell it apart even when we get together our own crowd. A chosen race, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, hagios, peculiar, a little different than the world. And then He says we are a people, plural, for God's own possession. That means we are owned by God. Take your Bible and go to Exodus 19. Very quickly, Exodus 19. None of this is going to come up on the screen tonight, all right? I gave Randy a night off up there. Sharon's not here, and I took it easy on Randy. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. You got your, if you don't have a Bible, there's one right there in a pew rack in front of you. You can turn, or you can lean over to your friend next to you. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Here's what Peter's quoting. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. See in verse 5, the peoples of all, my own possession among all the peoples. You will be my people for my own possession. God owns the church. God owns you. He bought you with the price of his blood. You are not your own. And then we start saying, well, but my feelings and my rights and my... We're his possession. Hallelujah. He owns us. As he quotes here out of Exodus 19. And also he's quoting out of Isaiah 43 and verse 21. And you can find the same teaching that is there. So we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are people for God's own possession. Now, in verse 9, you're back in the text that we're looking at. Why are we these things? We are, as the race, the priesthood, the nation, and the people, we are all that so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why are we a race and a priesthood and a nation? One reason, so we can talk about how excellent, excellent, excellent King Jesus is. That's our deal. He called us out of darkness into light, and now we proclaim his excellency, his excellency. I'm telling you, every time people see us together, we ought to be talking about Jesus. We ought to be making much out of Jesus. We ought to be talking about the excellent Savior, the excellent Redeemer, the excellent soon coming King that we have. We talk about the word excellent is used four times in the Bible. It's used in this text in 1 Peter. Then it's used in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. And it talks about the excellencies of God. And then the fourth time is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, where it talks about whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever this, blah, 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 and whatever is excellent, think on these things. Now, excellent means excellent. You know what excellent means, don't you? It's like really good. It's above everything. His excellency. I mean, that's the top dog right there. So our job is to talk about his excellency, the excellencies of God. That's why we are a race and a priesthood and a nation and a people. It's why we are chosen. It's why we are royal. It's why we are holy. That's why we are possessed by God. It is to make known the excellencies of his grace. It's why we do worldwide missions. It's why we go across the street. That's why on the 13th day of December, we're not going to meet on Sunday night. 3 weeks from tonight, we're not going to have church here on this like this. I'm going to meet at my house, and I'm asking you to meet at your house, and I'm giving you a packet of information. And I want you to have a devotional at your home. I want you to get together. I want Stan and Kristen to have a deal with their three girls at their house. And then in that packet I'm going to give you, some of you already have it, there are five invitations to Christmas Eve. And then I want Stan and Kristen to walk down their road. I want them to go to their neighbors that they know are not churched. and invite them, some of their own church folks that may be around them too. But I want you to go to 5 homes. I want you to walk up to the door and knock on the door and hand that beautiful printed invitation and say, we'd love to have you at one of our Christmas Eve services. We're having 3 of them. Got one at 4, got one at 6, got one at 11. And it's going to be really good. And you come, and it'll last about an hour. And we'd just like at Christmas time to invite you to our church. We'll ask all of us to do that. We print up 1,000 of these. What a great night it'd be if we had 1,000 families go to 5 homes. That's 5,000. That's how many that is. That's good. That's excellent. Amen. We're going to make 5,000 invites one night. So what if they're not home? Leave it on the door. Go back. You can do it on Monday. Go back and give that invite. Make known that we are to proclaim. We've been called out of darkness, and we are to make known the excellencies of our great God. All right, verse 10, and you got to see this. For you once were not a people. Oh, my. But now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And he's quoting here from the book of Hosea. So everybody go to Hosea, and as soon as you get it, stand up. Hosea chapter 1. As soon as you get to Hosea, stand up. There you go, Kim. She's on her phone. Hosea. Some of y'all cheated. You looked at your reference and saw it, didn't you? No, it went right to it. All right, Hosea. As soon as you get Hosea, Bible drill. Hosea 1. Hosea 1. It's hard to find. If you're in a Ryrie Study Bible, it's on page 1375. Now, if you haven't stood up yet, all right, John, come on. It's not a music book. Stand up. All right, let's go. All right, I'm sitting here making fun of you. I hadn't even turned yet. So let me get over here to it. Hosea. It's in here. I know it is. It's a little bitty book. I'm getting closer. There's Ezekiel. It's past that, isn't it? There's Daniel. Keeping coming after Daniel. Isn't that it? Here we go. Right there it is. Hosea 1, 10 and 11. Listen to this. You know the book of Hosea. Remember, Hosea is his wife. She became a prostitute. And then God told him to go buy her back. Her name was what? Gomer. And so he goes and gets, it's not Gomer Pyle. It's Gomer his wife. And so he bought her back. And then we get to chapter 1, verse 10, and here's what he says. Yet the number of the sons of Israel be like the sands of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it will come about that in that place where it is said to them, you are not my people. Remember what Peter just said? You're not my people, but now you're going to be. You are not my people. It will be said of them, you are the sons of the living God. You were not my people, then you're going to be the sons of God. Wow. Now that's coming out of darkness into light, isn't it? And the sons of Judah and the sons of Israel be gathered together, and they will appoint for themselves one leader, and they will go up from the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Then go to chapter 2 and verse 23. Just turn the page if you need to. Chapter 2, 23. I will sow her for myself in the land. I will also have compassion on her who has not obtained compassion. And I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. Peter picks up on that over here and says, all of you folks that used to, you were not God's people, but now you're God's people. Do you get this? You were lost, beloved. You were not God's children. A lot of people, they'll say today, well, you know, we're all the children of God. Wrong. We're not all the children of God. We're all the children of darkness. You must be born again. You were in dark, and then God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you were not, once you were not the people of God, and now you are the people of God. You are the remnant people of Almighty God. And God's placed us in this world to be a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for God's own possession. He possesses us. We weren't always what we are now. We used to be in a far country, lost and in darkness, and the gospel came and regenerated us, and we had faith, and we had faith, and we got born again, and we don't know how all that happened, but God touched us, and in our heart, he caused the day star to rise in our heart, and we walked down an aisle, or somebody knelt down with us, or we cried out on our bed, and we just said, Lord, save me! And when he did, we became part of God's people. Now, don't miss this. You're not in this by yourself. It's plural. Have I said that yet tonight? You see, the folks that are in Romania tonight, that are the folks in Kazakhstan, the folks in Belgium tonight, the folks in Paris, do you know there are Christians in Paris? There's some French people that believe. All around the world, we're part of the people of God because God called us out of darkness. See, another thing on that logical deal, if you regenerated first and then we believed, why is it that there are some nations he never does regenerate anybody? I can't get that in my head. But I said, if God loved the world, he'd give a little light everywhere, wouldn't he? Well, I think that's because we got our mandate. And the reason they've not heard is because we've not gone. See, I think that's the other side of that election situation. We are the people of God. Hosea said, you are Lo-Ami. You are not my people. But now one day you will be my people. Some of you sit in this room or stand in this room tonight and you'd say, I am not a child of God. You ought to be. And God calls you because Jesus died for you and he would but redeem you if you would believe on his name. Some of you are here and you're part of the family of God, of the priesthood of God, but you've not connected with a local assembly of God's people. That would be Olive Baptist Church. And maybe tonight that you want to come to know the Lord. Some of you have been saved, but tonight you want to come be a part of the church. Then you need to step out, come down this aisle when we sing this next song, and simply say, Pastor, this is my night. John's coming right now. We're going to sing a hymn of response, a song of response. We're going to give praise unto the Lord. This is not only our response time. We're going to ask everybody to stand with us and we'll respond to the message, but also it's God's invitation time in our life. And if God's calling in your heart, then you should come tonight. You should say yes to Christ. You should say, I want to be a part of the family of God, of the plurality of the people of God. Now, isn't it wild how God puts us all together in this plural deal? And we're not even like each other. I didn't say we didn't like each other, but sometimes we don't even do that. But we're not all alike. People from all over, different nationalities and ethnicities and colors and education and thought processes. And God puts us together. Well, that's a good thing. Because it's a big, wide family. Somebody said, you're in a blended family. Yeah, I'm part of the church. But there ain't never been a more blended family than that. He brings us knots and all together. Amen? Just all of us. I'm telling you, friend, God loves you and this church will love you. If God's call's in your heart tonight, then I want you to come and confess. Maybe you need to bow here and just speak out to the Father. So while we sing this song, if you need to respond, and some of you do tonight, then you step out and you come just now.